What's going on, everybody? Welcome to our downtown studios. This is Five Rounds. I am John Ramdean. He is the one and only Robin Black. I got to quickly, for my own personal agenda, got to give a shout out to my man Victorio and Justin Mancini and the Iceman, Jean-Yves Terrio. Had the chance to work with these guys calling some kickboxing at the Cabaret in the beautiful Casino Montreal. And I will tell you, Justin, you did a killer job, but to sit down and call fights with Jean-Yves Terrio, if you've never seen this guy fight, do yourself a favor. See the original Iceman's highlights. This guy is a game changer.
Jean-Yves Terrio, so it's something we've noticed is that because of the speed that the world consumes things, people don't always look at the history of things. Just because you're a football fan doesn't mean you know who Joe Theismann is.
Yeah.
I don't know who does that, for example, right? But I'm not a football fan. I'm a martial arts fan. Jean-Yves Terrio is one of the great combat sportsmen ever. Now, if you're a Canadian in particular, but we are consumed by 40 countries. So if you're, outside of Canada, the Google machine, the YouTube machines.
Yeah.
Just Jean-Yves Terrio, the Iceman.
This is a guy that headlined a pay-per-view on Showtime against Rick Rufus, for example. Mm-hmm. So his fingerprints are all over Canadian combat sports.
And world, global.
Oh, yeah, global.
Sport.
Global.
And the thing is, he was a kickboxing champion, but the mindset was very similar to the mixed martial arts mindset. You analyze where the spaces are and where the flaws in your opponent are and where they put together their game. And everybody's working off a side kick. Everybody's working a front kick and a hook kick right here. Let's step inside and tighten up our hands. So he brought a higher level of boxing to the inside ranges where people were kicking from the outside ranges. Brought the fight in, very confusing for them. It was an entirely different game. Hey, everybody else I fight with agrees to be out at range four throwing kicks, and we have a little kickoff in our shiny pants. And this Canadian gentleman with the very impressive mustache steps inside, penetrates the range, and hits me with hooks and straight right hands. And uppercuts and beats me up. Changed the game. And that, if you want to look at how any type of fighting changes, go back and watch how he completely changed the long pant kickboxing game.
I think what's also amazing about it is they're big fight fans, so they love all fighting. So they look at this specific area of fighting as this is our contribution to the global experiment of free fighting. Because you know who their guy is. And when we're looking at mixed martial arts, who would the Terrio's guy be? Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. They just were raving about Stephen Thompson.
And he adapted. He did the opposite. Everybody wants to box, so let's push out to this range. Just penalize them for trying to press into boxing range. He literally found the answer to the answer that Johnny.
Same principle.
It's almost in reverse. We've all agreed to push in and fight tighter. So let's force them. Let's hit them and intercept them as they penetrate in. Basically, it's the way that Jean-Yves would have changed the game to beat himself. He would have answered that game by changing it to beat himself. And they came from jiu-jitsu. And now it's Japanese jiu-jitsu.
100%.
But Tarian jiu-jitsu, right? And they came from jiu-jitsu. And at that time, jiu-jitsu was a free fighting sport.
Yes, it is.
Let's just figure out the answers. It's almost like Bruce Lee's thinking. Jeet Kune Do, or what they called jiu-jitsu, which is its own thing, is just find the answers, figure out what works, and fight that way.
So cool. Johnny Terrio, clearly one of the most exciting fighters.
One of my favorites.
Of the
ever.
70s and 80s and into the 90s. One of the most exciting fighters of this day and age, Justin Gaethje, the World Series of Fighting lightweight champion, will join us on the show later on as he's getting ready to take on Luis Firmino on December 31st in New York City. I'm sure he's going to go try his best to knock this guy out or fly through the air, put on some sort of another highlight, and then celebrate later in Times Square with a couple of wobbly pops.
I hope so. So now we're trying to figure out why this guy has been undefeated as an amateur and a professional, and he is not fighting with a game plan and a strategy. And at least we'll talk to him, but we've heard him referenced before. This is not, it's not about that. So how's he doing that? What's he done with the game? And I think what he's done is figure, you're finding the holes. And the holes to him are in who you are as a man and who you are mentally as a man in that moment. And so he's focused all of his energies on that. Instead of figuring out, oh, well, against this guy I'll wrestle, and against this guy I'll get my jab going, and I'll check low kicks and counter with this, he's like, I will be free to express combat entirely freely. I'll force you to do the same, and I'll be in a better state to do it than you will. So he's approached it from a different angle instead of it is still a problem-solving angle, but it's not a technical problem-solving angle. It's a psychological
one. Simply incredible. Of course, that's going down December 31st, the night before Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena, UFC 207, the return of Ronda Rousey as Amanda Nunes looks to defend her 135-pound championship. Dominic Cruz also looking to defend his 135-pound title against the undefeated Cody Garbrandt.
Winners will fight each other?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I think there was something in Russia where I saw a woman beat up a man.
I think I've seen that in Brazil as well.
I don't think that should be done.
I don't think that should be done either.
No,
of course not.
And it doesn't make sense, but I have seen it in these other countries, and I'm entirely joking about it when I mention it now. From a standpoint, the reason I'm
that
circling.
It's insane.
Exactly.
That's
from
why.
A standpoint of complete ridiculousness, when you make that joke, people are like, yeah, don't be ridiculous. Yeah. And I was like, actually, I think I just saw some Russians do that.
Cain Velasquez, Fabrizio Verdum, Killer Fight, TJ Dillashaw, John Lineker, Johnny Hendricks, Neil Magny. But I want to talk about, because we only have a little bit of time, and I know we're going to be focused on that in the next week, all of the action leading up to
UFC. Because we got Justin coming up.
Yeah. But I want to talk a couple of the other fights that are kind of flying under the radar. Yeah. Tarek Saffiedine, Dong Young Kim, Tim Means, the return of the Dirty Bird, taking on Cowboy Oliveira, Lewis Smolka, Ray Borg, Alex Garcia, Mike Pyle, and the returning Brandon Thatch taking on Nico Price. When you are, especially because I was mentioning it before, 145, 155 pounds, and 170 pounds, just some of the deepest divisions out there. If you're a guy like Brandon Thatch, clearly anybody fighting in the UFC, I think the goal is to become a champion, right? To get the, depending on where you are, you talk to Nathan and Nick Diaz, like, it's not about that. It's about making as much money and making an impact in the game.
Other people, it's about legacy and learning and testing themselves.
But you would expect that a lot of these athletes, the goal is, how do we get a UFC title? How do we make that money? Well, if people don't know us, you win a UFC title, and then you make that money. If you're a guy like Brandon Thatch, 11-4 in your mixed martial arts career, how do you make sure you can get to that top? What is the path? Do you I know every fighter says, oh, you know, I just got to take it one fight at a time. I'm not even looking at the future. This is my opponent that's standing across the cage is all I've but you also have to map out what's going on in the future.
I think the two things that you're hoping are happening in parallel is winning the fight and improving, and winning the fight and improving, and winning the fight and improving. And if you lose a fight but you improve, you're still going the right way. It's when you stop improving. So for a lot of these guys, wherever they're at, if they go and after they fight, they go out and they party and they take some time off and they enjoy their family and they do all those things that they've earned, which stretches out into 4 weeks and then 5 weeks, and then they host a few things and then they travel and then, oh shit, I got a fight coming up in 9 weeks. And then they get back in shape and then they do 6 weeks of training and then they fight. They've gotten back. The maximum they can achieve is where they were last time. And those guys can't be the champion. They can't. The guys who will be the champion through, it's a permanent lifestyle of improvement as a martial artist and hopefully winning. Dustin Ortiz just fought against
Zach Makovsky.
Zach Makovsky. And going into that fight, and I told you this, Dustin Ortiz came up to me after the fight and said to thank your partner and thank you guys for recognizing where we were. Those guys had lost a couple of fights. But we were seeing them come together as two of the top five or six skill guys who are still getting better, still getting better, still getting better. And so you're getting better, but you lost a fight. Okay, I'm getting better and I want to, as long as you're getting better and becoming more as a martial artist, you're still on the path. It's when you slowly win and take a break and the next thing you can do is get in as good a shape as last time, you can't be, you'll never be the champion. And a guy like Justin Gaethje we got coming up, this is a guy who's getting better. He's making himself better in some ways. I'm sure we'll talk to him. I'm sure he'll talk about how he trains, and that makes him better. But he's becoming more as a fighter. And as long as guys are doing that, they'll be champion. And if they become champion, well, they won't be champion because everybody wants to be champion. And the top 10 or 15 are all growing that way. And they can't all win. But if you do, you still need to maintain that. Demetrius Johnson is still in a search for greatness every training session. So he never just gets back to where he was last fight. Each fight, he's more than he was last time.
I guess certain fighters, we were talking about the truths of combat, mm-hmm. and that you learn what the actual truth is in there. So the goal is, okay, I've busted my ass. Like you've laid it out. This is what it takes to mm-hmm. be a champion. As soon as I finish my last my fight, I go, might take the weekend off, right back mm-hmm. to the grind of things. I am uber-focused on everything I do. My life is nothing but sacrifice, and I continue to lose fights. I'll win two, I'll win one. I'll lose two, I'll win two.
Yeah.
So when that is your path, do some fighters just accept the fact, okay, I'm just not championship material. What I can be is I can be an action fighter and I can make quite a bit of money playing my specific game.
You can, and both of those two things are possible. Then you got fucking Justin Gaethje, who is simultaneously both of those. That's why you see these certain levels of greatness is what if you could be both? What if you can do it all? And that's rare, but those are the guys who make the money, and those are the guys who push themselves and grow and continue to you check in on them 3 years later. You don't remember what they were like, but you go back and you watch it on a Fight Pass or on YouTube or wherever, and you see, oh my God, look how much better they are. And it goes on forever.
All right. Without further ado, we're going to talk to the World Series of Fighting lightweight champion, Justin Gaethje. We are happy to be joined by World Series of Fighting lightweight champion, one of the most exciting fighters on the planet, the human highlight, Justin Gaethje, who looks to defend his title December 31st in the Big Apple, New York City, as he takes on Pride veteran Luis Firmino. Justin, thanks so much for giving us the time. How are you feeling getting ready fighting for your bout on New Year's Eve Day?
Yeah, this is my last peak week of training, so right now I'm feeling crappy. I feel great. This, the preparation, the last fight, and then the last fight not happening. My mindset right after that was, still so hungry because I didn't get to get in there before under the lights. So I went straight back into training camp. So I'm pretty much running on about 24-week training camp for this fight. So I'm super ready. Mm-hmm.
Justin, two-part question. First off, who are a couple of your main training partners? Sparring partners.
Nate Marquardt is yep. one of my main sparring partners, and then I move around to different gyms, and I like to see new people and get new training partners. I've been going up to Trials MMA in Fort Collins, and they have a solid group of like six guys: Justin Gonzalez, Ben Lugo, Chris Holcomb. They're all local Colorado fighters, but they're tough as nails. And they're getting me ready.
So the reason I ask is, if I go to Nate or one of those guys and I ask them about sparring with Justin Gaethje, I have a weird feeling they would say you're a very technical and sort of safe and gentle sparring partner. Is that accurate?
Oh, I'd say no.
No.
I spar, I go to get better, and I go to get my partners better. They know when you spar with me, you have to be on your toes, and because I'm always training to get better. I am where I'm at because of my work ethic, and once that bell rings, you're not my. I will take care of you. I'm not going to try to knock you out or hurt you, but I'm going to try to get better.
Nate Marquardt, we have the luxury here at Fight Network in Canada of showcasing the best of Pancrase, and we get to look at the history of mixed martial arts. And Nate Marquardt, one of our favorite fighters, a wealth of experience. What are some of the things that he has helped you with over the years? Because he's basically seen it all in combat sports.
Yeah, he has. I mean, mostly it's just, his outlook. He's had a long career, and he's been able to experience the ups and downs of this fight game, and he's persevered, and he's feeling better than he's ever felt before, he says. So I think that's confidence. So that alone right there just shows me that it doesn't matter who you are, that if you're not confident in yourself, that it doesn't matter. And right now he's got back with Trevor Whitman. Me and him train with Trevor Whitman. I think that's that's the reason for my success, absolutely. And you know, right now he's finding success, you know, since he's, you know, I think he's won 5 of his last 6 fights or something. So he's on the roll right now.
Justin, no doubt, Trevor and Nate and all that, there are a number of ingredients that have given you success. But the state, the mental state that you're in when you fight is definitely got to be one of them. You mentioned performing under the bright lights and being hungry to do that. What is the day of the fight like for you psychologically and the hours leading up to it and the minutes leading up to it? How do you get yourself in that perfect state to fight?
I mean, it's a process. 12 weeks ago, you know, it's like there's a huge tunnel around me, and I got so much space, and then every day it just keeps getting smaller and smaller, and, like, the tunnel represents my life, I say. And so this fight is, like, my life. So the closer it gets, the more and more the tunnel closes in, and then on fight day it's just focused on yourself, focused on everything inside of you to be ready, because, you know, confidence. You got to tell yourself your preparation was there. You ate right. You slept right. You didn't do things that you usually do. Drink a soda here or there. You know, you don't do those things. You sacrifice things. So all the sacrifices I make, I'm able to put them into perspective and then tell myself that this is the day. This is the 25 minutes you've been training the last 1,000, you know, 2,000, 3,000 minutes for.
The way that you fight, I think any fight fans, they tune into you. They see this always exciting, constantly going after it. I mean, you look at all the finishes on your resume, very, very impressive. Is that just you, or do you, is the goal, when you, do you have a specific strategy when you step inside of the cage, or do you just let things kind of unfold organically, and because of the person that you are, you normally get the finish?
Yeah, I have absolutely no game plan, ever. My only game plan is to implement me on them. You know, I hit hard, I hit like a truck. I got a great coach, Division One All American wrestler. It's something I haven't even used in a cage. So, other than when I started, I was slamming the shit out of people. So I want to get back to that. But you know, it's so exciting in my field right now. You know, humans recognize effort, and I give max effort.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Did you see Cub Swanson fight Du Ho Choi a week or two ago?
I did. I was at the fight.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's the kind of fight that when you watch that, you go, okay, yeah, I know what that's about. I respect those guys.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, human effort. Those guys, you know, went in there willing to give up everything just for our entertainment. So you have to. If you don't respect that, then, you know, I would rather you not be a fan of this sport with me.
When you look at your future, clearly I think most people recognize you as one of the top, I don't want to insult you with this term, but the top prospects in mixed martial arts. Now, I know you're extremely successful with the World Series of Fighting. Champion there.
Yeah.
But a lot of the hardcore fans, they want to see you against the best fighters.
Michael Chandler.
Exactly.
And
they want to see you against the best fighters on the planet. I know World Series of Fighting, they take care of you. This is the last fight on your contract, but you're also a businessman. You're trying to do what's best for you and your family. You go out, you win this fight, defend this title for a fifth time. This is the last fight of your contract, if I'm not mistaken. You're taking a look out there, or if you're just waiting for the World Series of Fighting to come back, if they give you an offer that you're satisfied with, you stay with this promotion that has helped build you?
Wow, I mean, there's so many scenarios. You know, there's 10 right there in one. I mean, I could lose this fight, and then all that could be...
but does it matter? Like,
so I literally, as much as stupid as it sounds, I don't look past my next fight. Yeah. I don't look to my next contract. I haven't thought about my next contract. I have a great manager, Ali Abdelaziz. He's, you know, that dude's got 50 eyes or something, and he's a good manager. He gets shit done, and he's, you know, he's always working for you. So I know he's going to give me the biggest numbers that I deserve. I want to fight for the company that respects my effort the most. And so far, it's been, you know, World Series of Fighting has taken unimaginable care of me. You know, when Ozzy dropped out, you know, they paid me my show and win money. You know, there's not a lot of promotions that are going to go out of their way to take care of a fighter like that. So I don't owe them nothing. You know, we've done this together, but I definitely have so much respect for World Series and all the opportunities that they've given me. So I don't know. I do have 2 fights left on my contract. Mm-hmm. The last one, since I didn't fight, it didn't count.
I see.
have two left, and then I honestly do not know. I want to fight the best in the world. I do know that.
One of the things you did say, though, is that you could go out and lose this fight. But based on what we've seen of you, and you talk about effort, I think a lot of fight promoters look at – they don't really look at wins and losses. They know that when they're paying a specific fighter, win or lose, you're getting a specific type of performance. And I think it's safe to say with you, based on everything we've seen in your time inside of the cage, that clearly you have no losses, but you go after it no matter what. And I don't think it matters if you win or lose the fight. You're going to get a Justin Gaethje-type performance every time you step in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a promoter's dream.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, what else can you ask for?
It's true. When I watch you fight and I try, sometimes some of us, when we watch performance, when we watch high-level performance, we get sort of drawn into the moment. And I imagine that in those moments, there's no past and there's no future and there's nothing but the moment that you're living in. Is that accurate, that there is literally nothing else but that?
That's it. That's the tunnel. That was my tunnel theory. Everything. My life is just this. This today, right now. I have to be ready for the next just 25 minutes.
Amazing.
What have you learned? What have you learned about yourself during this journey?
You know, my journey started at 4 years old. Wrestling. I wrestled every single year. I never took a year off. I'm glad that's over because it was so hard on my body, and it's just the roller coaster ride up and down. You know, you can lose a tournament one weekend, and 3 days later you got to miss another whole tournament. The last tournament doesn't mean anything, and so you have to put yourself in every single match. You have to be ready for every single opportunity. You know, you can't overlook one. The first round of a tournament, because if you don't win the first round, then you are not going to be in the finals. So you have to concentrate. You have to be in the moment. No thoughts. Just turn your reactions on. Hard work's done, and then just put in work. Have fun.
When you're fighting now and you have no thoughts and you're literally absolutely 100% authentic and free, after you go back and watch those fights, you go, holy shit, I can't believe I did that A, B, and C in that, and I don't even remember doing these things, and I've never done them before. Does that happen often after your fights?
Yeah. I mean, not necessarily that exact scenario. I mean, I don't go in there and try new things. I work hard at what I'm good at, and I stick to those things. If I'm throwing spinning back kicks or something, I'm having a little too much fun, so I need to calm down. So, hard work takes you a long ways.
Yeah. Is Luis Firmino is just another warm body for you? You say that it's not about strategy. You go in there, get the feel, try to get a read on your guy, and then try to do the Justin Gaethje. Is that pretty much sum up the way that you're approaching Firmino?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I watch one fight on each fighter that I'm going to fight just to see pretty much their stance and their pace. That's the only thing I like to see. And he's had 19 fights, never been 19-7. I think he's never been knocked out. So I definitely am learning it. His last fight, he fought Brian Foster,
Maximilian,
and then started crying and ran out of the building. You know, that is, I don't like that for my sport, so I'm inclined to try. I mean, I really would not mind retiring this man from the sport. I have fought 22 people, including my amateur fights, and at least 6 people I've never fought again. So that's my goal right here.
Wow. Okay. Well, I will tell you, we're very excited. All the action going down December 31st, World Series of Fighting 34, Justin Gaethje looking to defend his 155-pound strap as he takes on the Brazilian Luis Firmino. Justin, I will tell you, we are going to be watching. It's going to be a good warm-up because the beers are coming out after that to celebrate a great night of mixed martial arts. And,
of course, the
end of 2016. Enjoy your moment out there.
Yes, sir. I will be better than ever, I promise.
The one and only Justin Gaethje taking on Luis Firmino, WSOF 34. Justin Gaethje, 155-pound World Series of Fighting champion. This guy's making some bank. I don't know if you've seen a lot of fighters, especially you think about 3 or 4 years ago. There was one goal. There was one goal for professional mixed martial arts fighters, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. That is it. However, there is a different path. If you've been in martial arts for a long time and you could make a living fighting in Japan, that's attractive to a lot of friggin' people because of the roots, the heritage, the culture. A lot of the best promotions, Pride Fighting Championship, and now we've seen Ryzen and K1 and Deep and Pancrase and Shudo. They all came out of Japan. So there's a certain connection, and I could see how some fighters are like, okay.
And then you go over there and you a lot of fighters are adventurers. And the adventure of a new culture and new, you know, traditions and new cultural influences and a new way of life, that's a very appealing thing to an adventurer.
So instead, in 2016, as I mentioned before, a number of people, the only goal was for the UFC. Over the last number of years, or Japan, the last number of years, Bellator is now a viable option. Yeah. World Series of Fighting. If you've seen what Marlon Moraes and Justin Gaethje are making for their fights, it's outrageous.
Good money.
Good for both of those guys and good for their management team to hook them up with the type of coin they're making.
In the last sort of 2 years, both those guys, I think we were looking at Moraes. He had made $600,000 in 2 years, barely 2 years.
Yeah.
Good for him, man. Good for him. That's good money for a professional athlete who's competing a few times a year. That's very good. It's not... They should still make more.
I agree.
In everyone. I think Michael Chandler's making a good living. Notice I tried to slip in. Yeah. You know, it wasn't just, we want to see you fight Alvarez or Connor or Nate. We'd like to see you fight Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler and Justin Gaethje.
Come on. Give me a break. That's the problem. We want to just see co-promotions. Yeah. I know the UFC is like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, but Mike and Justin, World Series of Fighting and Bellator could do it.
Let's hope so. I don't know if they would do that. I think World Series of Fighting would be like, fuck you. We've already built these guys.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to be saying this?
Yeah.
Anyways, the World Series of Fighting has their show December 31st, as I pointed out. What a card this is. Mm-hmm. So it's going on in the afternoon, live on Fight Network if you're in Canada. I'm not sure where it's airing in the U.S.
I think we have a few other places, other territories we have.
We're in 30-some odd countries. So the main event, as I said, the undefeated Justin Gaethje, a slew of knockouts, super exciting. What about him wanting to retire Luis Firmino? That felt real.
That was real.
You know, because there's certain times where fighters, I don't believe everything that comes out of Conor's mouth.
No.
Conor's playing a certain game, and the game he's playing is mental warfare.
Yeah, Dom is playing.
Same thing. So I'm just trying to rattle you. I'm going to say anything. I really feel like Justin Gaethje wants to send this dude packing from the sport.
Well, I am not an analyst of the abilities of athletes to act. I am not a professional acting analyst. Yep. However, none of the way that he speaks or I've seen him perform on television has suggested to me that he's a good, convincing actor. And I was very convinced with that. So I assume that was not coming from his fluke acting skill that he had mustered.
Yeah,
and he really has, as he's narrowed his tunnel, he's been like, all that's left is Luis.
Yeah.
I'm going to retire him.
Unbelievable.
That's how he thinks.
So
that's why he's who he is. And for anybody who is watching this show, watch through the beginning, and you know, and then now we're into World Series of Fighting. You're like, I don't watch that. Just go watch this guy. Watch this guy. This is there are fighters outside of the UFC and or Bellator, and if you haven't seen them, where they are very, very, very special and unique. And Justin Gaethje is top of that list.
This is one of those cards, though. It is must see. It really will. If you are a fight fan and you're getting ready to go party later on in the day.
Is this the 31st or the 1st?
This is the 31st.
Okay, cool.
So the main event, Justin Gaethje, Luis Firmino, the co-main event, John Fitch, who challenged George St. Pierre for the welterweight championship of the world, taking on Jake Shields, who fought
George St. Pierre.
George St. Pierre for the welterweight championship of the world, not that far away at the Sky Dome, what's it called? The Rogers Center now, in front of 55,000 people. This is the guy, he also choked out Robbie Lawler with one arm, Jake Shields, training partner of Nick Diaz. The guy's a savage.
A
I mean,
it's
a great fight.
Dynamite.
And then Brazilian Jose Aldo Silva, 25-4. He will have his hands full as he takes on one of the best 135-pound fighters in the world in Marlon Moraes, who I would love to see against Dominic Cruz.
So three title fights? Is Shields for the title? Shields and Fitch?
No, I don't think that's for the title.
Oh. So we've got title fight, then welterweight fight, and 55 title fight.
And then Yushin Okami taking on Paul Bradley on the card.
Cool.
And I believe Dave Branch is defending what is this his... Dave Branch has two titles. So he is the middleweight champion and the 205-pound champion. And it looks like he will be defending his 185-pound title against Lewis Taylor. Also on the card, Jared Rochalt, Smolino Rama on the card. So good night, a good day of day of fights. If you want,
and this is in the afternoon.
In the afternoon.
Right, so we're going to have our first beer.
First beer.
Yeah, this is good.
You know what
this
I mean?
It's going to be real good.
You can watch these fights and get yourself all amped up and go and get ready for... just don't go cause any shit. Don't get yourself a bunch of beers.
If you're 19 or 20 and that's your thing, go do it. We cause some shit.
We don't. I worked security. The last thing everybody is out to have a great time on New Year's.
And
they don't need that asshole or a bunch of assholes who get way too
hold
drunk.
Hold on.
Before.
If you are one or some of those assholes, don't watch these fights.
Yeah, don't.
That'll
don't
get
watch
you
these.
All
especially
out.
Justin Gaethje.
Don't watch Justin Gaethje.
Don't watch
everybody else. So check yourself. Go just do a little self analysis. Am I an asshole?
Yeah,
I am not.
I'm not.
Okay, then.
But
I'm
am I an asshole when I drink?
Yeah. Okay, then.
Because there's lots of those people. So,
then don't watch Justin Gaethje. Everybody else, watch him.
Watch Justin Gaethje. But the way that you do it is you PVR Fight Network on Saturday afternoon if you're in Canada, and when you're recovering on January 1st, you wake up at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you put on the PVR and you get. But then again, you're going
to
see Justin Gaethje punching people, and that might help with your might hurt your head because you're already going to have a headache.
It's going to hurt Luis's head.
Yeah,
that's the intent.
So, Justin Gaethje, do you believe, like when we were talking to him about his contract, I thought it was last fight, but it makes sense that he did get that fight over with.
Yeah.
But he was paid, but it wasn't an actual fight, so he owes them another fight. Do you think he'll go to a bigger company?
I mean, when you look at he just said he's a promoter's dream. Now, fighters say all kinds of things, but he's bang on.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what more do you want when you go to – and think of some of the top 55ers that are exciting. Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje.
Oh, my gosh. You know they need to make that.
Yeah, they need to make that. To do that, they'll have to pay him what World Series of Fighting is offering or maybe a touch less. I love his thinking, though. It's like – and we've heard this, and it's the modern thought process. Max Holloway. I'm an 0-0 fighter trying to get to 1-0.
Yep.
There's nothing. There's no history. There's no future. There's no past. There's this moment in time that I need to be great. And Gaethje, through his training, very gentle with his training partners by all accounts, goes in, gets better every day so that in that moment of free fighting, true free fighting, he has the skills and the reflexes and the attributes and his mind at the highest level, and he goes in and he fights. And that has made him a lot of money so far, and it will probably make him much richer. If you don't want to carry this in, he doesn't want to carry it in. He's not carrying it in. But if he does go in, what's he? What an O is he right
16
now?
16-0.
Yeah. So you come out of this
18-0.
You come out of this 18-0, and the UFC will give you $250,000 a fight. They will.
You think
Yeah, I think so.
Because we were talking about it before. Because
I'm sure Eddie Alvarez is getting close to that when they brought him over.
But Eddie Alvarez is a different level a guy, only because people watched Eddie fight. The hardcore fans had followed him to Bellator.
Mm-hmm.
They'd followed him the entire career. This was the guy, you and I both watched him before he fought in Bellator. Yeah. We aired him here at Fight Network on Bodog, and then he fought in Dream. People knew who Eddie Alvarez was. The hardcore community saw him. Then the Bellator, the hardcore fans, and this
he was amazing in Bellator.
And he was the champion in Bellator.
Yeah.
And that's why we know that Michael Chandler's so goddamn good, because we saw that he beat friggin' Eddie Alvarez. Yeah. So with that, it's like, okay, we know what we got with Eddie Alvarez, because no matter what you pay this guy, he's not going to be conservative. He is, like Justin Gaethje says, a fight promoter's dream.
He is.
However, some people would criticize his couple of performances he had in the UFC. While you're facing the best fighters in the world, you also want the big prize to make money for your family. So sometimes you have to amend things. For Justin Gaethje, I think what was the number? 150,000 or something like
more,
that.
I think.
175,000 per fight in the World Series of Fighting. Yeah. Now, we don't know if that's a real number. Let's just assume it is a real number.
And by the last, then this one and the next, maybe it's 200.
Maybe it's $200,000. Is that when you look at the UFC's 155-pound division, now this new company that just purchased the organization for $4 billion, WMEIMG, are they willing to pay Justin Gaethje $200,000 when he's only known to the hardcore fans?
But when you look at 8 televised fights, and you are the guys making that choice, and you look, and the, just the frenzy with which he fights. And if it was one fight like that, you'd be like, I don't know. If it was two fights like that, you'd be like, well, he's had a couple good fights. But when it's 6 and it's 7 and it's 8, consistency. It's so consistent that that is how he performs. You can be certain that's how he's going to perform, win or lose. And people pay money for that.
Now, the question is, when you look at the level of competition, Brian Foster fought in the UFC. Luis Palomino, who he has 2 TKO victories over, he fought in Bellator. You have Dan Lozon, who at the time I think was the youngest fighter in the UFC. Yeah. Nick Newell in there as well. But he also has a split decision victory over Melvin Gillard. When you look at that level of competition and you compare those guys with the mid to upper level of 155 pounds in the UFC, where does he stack?
If I go in and I'm involved and I sign him and I bring him in, I match him up with Evan Dunham or Joe Lozon, guys who are very, very good. Maybe Joe even prep or Diego Sanchez. I match him up with something like that. Some a lower top 20 guys who are a little older, who have had their bodies taken some abuse as well, and he gives you an action fight no matter what, win or lose.
And but then, if he loses,
then it's the next guy.
But you pay $200,000.
That's not a lot of money
guy.
To these guys. That's the thing that that's the relative cost of this stuff. To go and give $1 million to Michael Chandler tomorrow isn't really that expensive. The problem with giving $1 million to Michael Chandler tomorrow is then the next people who are of his level all want $1 million.
Exactly.
So $200,000. I mean, I'm sure Khabib is making 80 and 80. You know what I mean? Right. I'm sure Tony's making 80 and 80.
But we're talking about Khabib in a title fight. You pay this guy $200,000, he loses to Diego Sanchez and then loses to Joe Lozon and then loses, say, wins another fight over a lower level guy.
That's
and then
not that much money. We haven't spent that much money.
Right.
But in the context of $4 billion, in the context
we've
of—
we've just spent $4 billion. Can we afford to spend $200,000 on a guy that we can't push?
There's talk of them trying to get many hundreds of millions a year for a 10-year television deal. If they got $300 million
a year— they're talking about $400 million.
Let's say they got $400 for a 10-year deal. There's your $4 billion.
Yeah.
Now it's all free.
Sure.
You've paid off everything, every dollar that's
don't get
profit.
That.
They'll get $200 million. They'll get $300 million. The math works. The math works. Like, it isn't like we just spent $400 million. We got to get it back. We have something that on paper is worth $400 million. It's like if you bought a house right now and you bought a house in Parkdale, cost you $800,000. Let's say you went and you raised $800,000 and you paid for the house. You'd be like, I don't have $800,000 anymore. But I have an $800,000 house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They have that. They're not in. Nobody's in financial trouble. If anything, they're like, we just bought something that we felt was profitable at $4 billion, and we cut 20% of all costs. We just made our money. Hmm. Now we've cut 20% of costs, and now we've raised revenue, and now we're going to get a new TV deal. Like the math, the only way you raise $4 billion in the Mark Cuban world is and. You do the same thing.
You get a bunch of your rich buddies.
Exactly. That Google or Twitter or Airbnb or any of them do. They go and they say, can you raise $4 billion? And like, well, what's in it for me? Well, you'll make, $26 million if you pull it off. Great.
Oh, I'll do that.
I'll go to work. Now, how do you get those guys to do it? You have to go to them. Let's say, Bang has $1 billion. He doesn't. Let's just say he does. We go to him and he goes, you want me to lend you $1 billion? You're like, yes. And we're going to give you back $1.05 billion in like a year. $0.05 billion is like $50 million. It's like, okay, so I'm just going, I couldn't get that in interest with this. You want me to borrow this? How can you assure me I'm going to get that? Well, we'll cut costs by this much and we'll raise revenue by this. How are you going to do that? You bring in business experts.
We fire a lot of people.
And then we'll reduce costs in this way. It's just zeros and ones. It's just moving money around. It's really weird when you look at it and you watch people doing it and you spend a little bit of time to study that
I'm
stuff.
Just getting confused.
It's all gross and weird.
It is gross.
Money is strange. And freaky.
So you expect that the UFC be willing to spend, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did do that.
Yeah, he's
but
worth
they
it.
Don't need to in the sense their 155 pound division is so friggin' deep that they really don't need Justin Gaethje. And I know one of the things we're talking about is that the new UFC, they're not concerned with what's going on with Bellator. Justin Gaethje seems like the perfect fit for Bellator.
I think I want to see him fight in the UFC because I want to see him fight all those,
all those guys.
But if he happens to go over to Bellator, just the 3 fights with Michael Chandler would be worth
holy
it.
Holy smokes.
Would all be worth it.
Yeah. What a great card, though. World Series of Fighting. They still haven't penetrated the way I think hardcore fans would expect them to. Like, this is, I don't know if they are just dropping the ball with getting the message out there, but you don't really see that out there in the world. This is really one of their best fight cards that they've ever put on. It's happening in a little over a week's time. I guess this is the push. They have Justin Gaethje.
They're doing the best that anyone could. If you and I decide, let's go raise $100 million, maybe Dwayne will give us $100 million. He doesn't have that. He's just a regular man doing a very good job of coaching and building a business. He might in 10 years.
Yeah, maybe.
He's building a great business. But let's say we can go find $10 million. Let's start a chocolate bar company. What do we do? How do we get – the world has so much chocolate bar penetration that we're literally going to try to get through all the Mars bars and the Krispy Crunch and the et cetera that is filling up everywhere. How can we even do it? They're spending $20 million a year marketing their thing. We can't even get people to notice. We're going to call it Joe Bars. Okay? So we're going to make that with whatever – we can't do it. The world is full of information. The world – the space is full. And World Series of Fighting, that's their challenge. The space is full. And the best way that if you're a big company to go and stop competitors is fill the space even more. Well, there's 10 shows a year. Well, now there's 20. Now there's 40. Like, if people aren't even getting to, you know, 50% of the UFC cards, there's no space left in their mind to see something else. But Justin Gaethje alone and Marlon Moraes alone are worth finding it on your channel and going and watching it because they're special.
100%. The night before Ronda Rousey battles Amanda Nunes, that's going down Friday night. Saturday afternoon, Justin Gaethje looking to defend his World Series of Fighting 155
pounds. See, right in your head. You can't cut through the clutter.
That's it for us. We'll see you next week. Jeff Chan, Chase Kaiser running the board. He's Robin Black. I'm John Ramdy. We'll see you next week on Five Rounds.